Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway United Methodist Church. I'm thankful that you're with us for this podcast as we continue our series, Bible Books in 10 Minutes or Less. And we're looking at the book of Matthew. But we must stop to say now we're in the New Testament. If the main character in the Old Testament has been God, and it truly has, other people have come and gone, the main character in the New Testament is Jesus, God's Son. We know God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it is in the end of the book of Matthew that Jesus tells us to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the Christian faith is put on display, and people are called to it. You know, the gospel begins with Matthew saying, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He says, this is telling you about Jesus Christ. He'll get in verse 18 and says, the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. And he'll call up the quotation from Isaiah saying, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. He talks about John the Baptist coming and crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and be baptized. And when he says when John the Baptist comes as the forerunner to Christ, when he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he is talking about the very presence of the king. If the Jewish people had been waiting for their king, if they had been waiting for the Messiah, and they had, John is here saying, the king is here. He is right at hand. He is so very near that now you can't miss him. And so the gospel proclaims this king. Now, Matthew is loved for its words of Jesus' teachings. And so the first key verses I want to give you out of Matthew are from chapter 5, beginning at verse 2. And Jesus opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right there, John Wesley, founder of the Methodist movement, said Jesus lays out the religion of God. And don't use religion as in a bad, you know, kind of a pejorative name for something. The way that God is designed that we should approach him. God gives forgiveness and lays down the terms. God will bring us life and fills that life with the content, which is his love and his spirit. And Jesus starts out by saying, it is poverty of spirit that you want. If you are all sin, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. If you are weary and broken, Jesus will say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If it is death that you have come up against and you do not know the solution, understand that we have a Savior of whom it is said, do not seek for the living among the dead. He is risen. We find all these things in the Savior proclaimed, and in the book of Matthew, we meet Jesus seemingly for the first time. We can read along to see that he heals the sick, and the point of the healings is not that, wow, Jesus can do amazing things, but who is it that does these amazing things? What does it say about him? He heals the blind. It is him that makes us see. He raises the dead. It is him that gives us life. He makes the lame to walk. It is he that makes our lives whole again. And so we go through in Matthew and the stories of Jesus' teaching and his healing to understand that the Son of God, the Messiah, the King, who will stand in our place, who will represent us before the Father, who will bear our sins upon the cross and to be raised for our glory, this is the one. The Gospels are written so that you might meet Jesus and might respond to him in faith. Now, Jesus not only, dealt with the law of Moses, the obedience of Israel, the consequences of disobedience in his teaching, but he also upheld that the law has been given as a gift that is part of our ministry as people of faith, of being a light to the world. Another word that Jesus used as fulfilling the promise of Abraham, that through the people who knew the law and knew the Lord through Abraham, all people on in all the nations on earth will be blessed. And so Jesus is inquired of all that is given in the Old Testament. And as we have passed through the books of the Old Testament, if you follow the podcast in order, what is the greatest commandment? And that's the next key verse I want to share with you. It is out of chapter 22, verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And so this was a young Pharisee who asked him. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Jesus has stated in the Sermon on the Mount that began in chapter 5 that he has come to fulfill the law, not to take it away, not to establish a kingdom where, since all is forgiven, everything is permitted, since we are won over by grace and by the work of God who has finally come to deal with the problem of sin, to make a whole people called to himself, to bring about the community of faith that he desires, since he has desired to do it himself. We need not worry about our behavior, its consequences, its ramifications. No, Jesus comes to fulfill the law. And in life, the life in Jesus that we live in faith, we do indeed fulfill the law, but he sets this standard for us. In the Old Testament, it taught, you will love the Lord your God first with all your soul and all your might, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus brings these two together, the first from the declaration of Moses before Israel. This is the first thing. This should be written on your doorpost. You should have it as a sign kind of carried in front of your eyes all the time. Love the Lord your God with all your soul and all your heart and all your might. And this verse, though, love your neighbor as yourself, is from Leviticus. Pulled from the very context where in Leviticus it lists various infractions against the law, various things that we would easily in any culture recognize as crime. Lifts up, you will love your neighbor as yourself. Recognizing that people will be flawed, people will need forgiven. Our very living for Christ on a day-to-day basis means carrying crosses and giving up of our own place, to not, as you know, insisting on our own rights, but to esteem others better than ourselves. These things Christ sets before us. When he says what our first and our second duty is, it points that it will also be upon us to carry a cross as Christ did, to deny ourselves, to seek him only, and to leave aside, you know, maybe the best we hope for ourselves in this world so that we can live for this one who has come to save us. Now the Gospels, all the Gospels, take us to the story of the crucifixion. In fact, in a day where, if you might read in the supermarket tabloid, oh, other Gospels have been found, and there were spurious Gospels written in the centuries after Christ, because, well, the church became very, very famous, and people who were writing magical texts wanted to make sure to have some stories about Jesus in there. They're all wrong, and they're not Gospels, because they don't tell us about the cross. Matthew starts in chapter 21, you know, after just 20 other chapters. His last 8 chapters are about the cross and the resurrection. We are to see that Jesus gave his life on the cross. This Son of God died a very real death. I mean, there's even a paragraph devoted to his burials to insist upon us the knowledge that this Jesus has died. And then seeing that great disaster, but knowing that it was done for us, knowing that the Christians will go forth from here saying, look, we don't have an animal sacrifice on our altar because there's been one full and sufficient sacrifice. We can go with the bread and cup that Jesus says is his body and his blood in his very presence with us, and understand that is all that we need to approach the Father with. So the Gospels always show us the cross, and he shows us the resurrection, that the tomb is empty, that this one whom the powers that be had done away with by the way the powers that be do, by killing the prophet, will now discover someone who cannot be killed and who gives us a mission. My last key verse for you in chapter 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is verses 19 and 20, the end of the gospel. Jesus saying, I have now sent you to go. The challenge is, God looks for your response to him. Jesus calls you to a new life, and it is one that you can live with His help. Ask His help to show mercy, to love God and your neighbor, and to go into the world in His name. This is Pastor Harley Wheeler with this Bible Books in 10 Minutes or Less as we have looked at the Gospel of Matthew. I am very glad you've been among us. Remember that challenge. Jesus says, go into all the world. He will be with you. Amen.